Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody for this one. I'm riding solo on this one, and it's probably for the best because I'm going to offer up something that I don't think should be that hot of a take. It's going to sound like a super hot take as I'm giving it. More on that here in a bit. To start the show, I basically recap the game that the Lakers just played. They beat the Phoenix Suns 112-107. They are now 3-0. In the preseason, I specifically liked a lot of what I saw from Kyle Kuzma. So we talk a little bit of Kuz there. I also spent a lot of time or some time on the Lakers defense, which is way ahead of where I thought it would be in a preseason game, especially. It's something that I didn't think the Lakers were really going to care about. Got a little bit into how I felt about AD and LeBron and that starting five that the Lakers rolled out with, how that looked. So there's some of that to get to. And then finally, in the last segment of the show, I offer up the aforementioned hot take in which I think this Lakers roster is better than any roster of my lifetime. Yeah, I'm that high on these guys. So let's go ahead. Get you to that segment as quickly as we possibly can so that you guys can yell at me about it. Make sure you send any complaints to at Laker Film Room so that you know I can hear all about it. Let's go ahead and get to the show. All right, this is getting ridiculous. So basically, I headed into this preseason with a goal in mind. I basically said my expectations on this Lakers team are through the roof. I honestly think that this might be the best Lakers roster of my lifetime, not including, I was born in 86, so not including like the Showtime era, just because I was so young at that point that I couldn't really quite grasp what I was watching, obviously, but including the three-peat team, the back-to-back title teams, it's up there for me. And so I've basically said heading into the preseason, look for ways to kind of calm down a little bit, right? Look for ways to throw some cold water on what you're watching, because good Lord, having expectations this high for any team feels a little unhealthy, right? And all we've seen since then is the Lakers beat the Clippers in two straight games without LeBron and AD, albeit preseason, whatever, all those disclaimers, obviously we can list them, no point in doing that again. And then we saw LeBron and AD out there, didn't look very good in the first shift and didn't really look like the kind of guys who spent the last couple months or so really focusing on just recovering, not necessarily training for another season. And then they came out, started caring, and at one point went on a 42 or a 44-14 run against a Phoenix Suns team that is full with young players, that is with a bunch of guys who were trying to compete for spots in that rotation on that roster. And the Lakers just made them look like first-round fodder, which is probably what they're going to be. And Kyle Kuzma has looked really good this preseason. Talen Horton Tucker has looked really good this preseason. Marc Gasol, even while he struggled finishing around the rim, just keeps making these passes that really make you giddy if that's the kind of thing that you really care about. And obviously LeBron and AD are still LeBron and AD. And I've reached that point where I'm kind of wondering, man, am I really going to go out there on a limb with this take? And you know what? I think I will. I think I will go ahead. And in the final segment, I'll go ahead and compare, you know, this team to some of those, especially the three-peat. There's no real point in doing it with the back-to-back teams because those three-peat teams were obviously probably better. But if this is the direction that we're going to take this conversation, then let's really have it. And I'm going to do that in the third segment. Let's start, though, with a few notes on the game to get us to that point. Lakers beat the Phoenix Suns 112-107, improving to 3-0 in the preseason. and, you know, continue to just to look like a freaking juggernaut, man. They just continue to improve in various ways around the court, in ways that, you know, really win you basketball games when they really matter, and can win you games even when you don't necessarily have it. And I want to start with the Lakers, how they looked when LeBron and AD didn't necessarily have it. It was kind of ugly. LeBron was fumbling the ball all over the place. AD was getting dunked on. That's not the kind of thing you're going to see when he is really, you know, fully committed and fully in rhythm. That's not the, you know, AD getting dunked on for and ones is not the kind of thing that I would really plan my game plan around if I was another team. But you saw it a couple times in this one. And Marcus Gasol looked a little slow. And I think the fit with Dennis Schroeder offensively is a little clunkier than we were maybe hoping for at this point. But again, it's only their first preseason game together. And it's the kind of thing that can improve if a couple things, you know, really go the Lakers' way. And yet, still, despite that, the Lakers were obviously within range of being able to really take over and handle this game. And then they did that, right? The second quarter finish, you know, they finished a little sloppily, but in the second quarter, they outscored Phoenix 32-19. Like I said, they had that one run where they outscored them. They basically outscored them by 30-ish points, which is, you know, this is a team that wants to make the playoffs. This is a team that the Lakers might see in the first round should the Lakers get the first the top seed here. And in that stretch, it looked pretty dominating, pretty suffocating, especially defensively. And that's what I want to kind of start with in this next segment is, good Lord, if that's the kind of defense this team is capable of playing when they really have to put the clamps down, then I really have no idea what opposing teams are going to do. So let's take a quick second, come back, and we'll talk about that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll save 20% off your next order of the best protein bars you will ever get. And you thought they were great before? Well, check out these new flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia. You can maybe guess which one I may or may not have had a role in naming. I didn't, but still, that's if I was going to name a protein bar, that's what it would sound like. Lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. You get that in addition to coconut almond, raspberry, orange, toffee almond, double chocolate, salted caramel, all of those good, great flavors. And they are just as refreshing, just as filling as they have ever been. And like I said, you can still continue to get them for 20% off your next order. So every time you hop on there, go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, and you will get 20% off every order that you put in on that website. And I just can't understand why you would ever stop ordering such a great product. So one more time, if you're looking for a gift for your family member, or you're looking for a stocking stuffer, it's a great stocking stuffer, head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get 20% off your next order. One more time, builtbar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. One of the things that Pete and I have spent quite a bit amount of time, a decent amount of time talking about, is this notion that the Lakers defensively might see some slippage just because of how talented they are offensively. The thinking is that because they're so good offensively, they are going to basically tell themselves, well, you know, I can miss the occasional rotation so long as we continue to outscore them on the other end of the court. And most nights they are going to be able to do that. I don't think there's, maybe Dallas is might be up there for, you know, best offense in the league this year. But I think the Lakers are going to be an elite offense. And so long as they are above average defensively, you're looking at a super good team. What we saw from the Lakers in that second shift with LeBron and AD out there was clamps down, suffocating defense where you could very clearly see Phoenix was playing at a pace, not just in terms of getting up and down the court, but in their half court, they were just sped up to a pace that they just are not comfortable playing at for any lengthy amount of time. And they just really struggled scoring. And then what that allows is that the Lakers get out in transition, and LeBron and AD are still going to be the best transition duo in the league. Dennis Schroeder is also a fantastic transition player. Kyle Kuzma is out there, and when he's out there in transition, that's some of when he looks his best. And when that defense really put the clamps down, it was kind of funny because I was watching on the Suns feed because of where I live, and on that feed, you heard them say, well, you know, Monty Williams was really focused on getting Phoenix to really take this game seriously, especially early, because the Lakers aren't, this is about as bad as the Lakers are going to look all year. And then they did look about that bad. And they said, all right, see, they took their coach seriously. They took his advice. They really took it to the Lakers. This seems like the kind of game that, you know, it can really be a positive note in this preseason. And then the Lakers put their clamps down and they said, well, you know, it might just be a learning experience. And you're just like, yeah, it's probably going to be a learning experience every time that the Suns play the Lakers this year. And if that defense is something that the Lakers can also lean on nights where, you know, say the three-point shot isn't going in, the chemistry just isn't quite there on offense the way that you would like to see it, whatever the case might be or the situation might be, if you can play that kind of defense, if that's always in your back pocket, that's going to keep you in games almost no matter what is going on. And that's basically what we saw. And, you know, it was a different starting lineup beyond LeBron and AD playing their first preseason game. But, you know, Kyle Kuzma was out there as well. KCP didn't play tonight. Wesley Matthews was out there with the second unit to see what that looks like. We still haven't seen Alex Caruso outside of that first game as he kind of nurses back his hip flexor. So you have all of these variables. You have all these balls kind of up in the air while the Lakers juggle seeing as many combinations as they possibly can in this short preseason, with also hammering down the combinations that they know that they're going to rely heavily on. And this is kind of the result, right? You see the up and downs of a game, but I don't think any team is going to have the ups that the Lakers are going to have this year, which, you know, is pretty significant. That's when you're talking about teams that can win championships, you want the team with one of the higher ceilings in the league, obviously, but you also want a team with one of the higher floors in the league. And I think that's where the Lakers find themselves right now. The other note that I want to make before we move on to the final segment, where we actually get to the root of whether or not this is the best Lakers roster. Not, I don't want to say, you know, best Lakers team thus far, because it's way too early. We don't even know what it's all going to look like in practice, but best Lakers roster of my lifetime, that'll be in the third segment. But I want to spend some time on Kyle Kuzma. We've obviously talked plenty, and we're going to continue to talk about Talen Horton-Tucker. We had an entire show basically devoted to the preseason that he's put together. He looked great again, though better in the second half than he did in the first, when the game was a little bit more serious. But Kyle Kuzma is somebody who I really think is worth keeping an extra close eye on this year, because he's in a contract year. The Lakers could technically still extend his deal. I don't think they're going to, but if they do, I can kind of understand the reasoning. They've already tied up their cap basically with LeBron and with AD, so you may as well keep the guys that you want to be able to keep and keep them happy. But on the other hand, asking Kuz to go out there and earn it this year also feels very in line with what the Lakers have tried to institute as their culture, right? This culture of competition, really, really going out there and earning your keep. And should they continue with that and Kuz doesn't get a deal, he looks very interested in proving that he is worth the kind of deal that he was kind of asking for in the offseason. And he's doing so obviously he looked really good in the second half where it was more of a pickup game and it was an up and back kind of deal. That's when Kuz is always going to look his best. That's the argument that you're going to make for him playing with that second unit, because that's the kind of game, that's the kind of style of play that those guys are probably going to play, right? Defend, switch everything, defend, and try to get out in transition and score earlier on in the shot clock, whereas that first unit is going to be more of an X's and O's, really execute your way to success in the half court. And there's some question as to whether or not Kuz fits there. But the Marc Gasol and Kyle Kuzma tandem is a really fascinating one. And Kuz is so good at seeing open space and finding that open space. And Gasol is so good at making sure the ball finds a player who just found that open space. And Kuz is also really good at finishing around the rim, which is, you know, those are three things that you want to see in a combination, a high-low kind of combination that you might see there. Kuz has also apparently, according to, as he said after the game, has really focused on being able to shoot on the move. And he had a couple catch-and-shoot moments tonight where he had to catch it on, either get a handoff or catch the ball on his right foot, hop into or out of a shot and make that shot look clean. He did that and looked really good there. And if the Lakers want some extra versatility, whoever they have in that other wing spot, if they can hit jumpers on the move, then that's another little wrinkle that you can add to executing in the half court with that starting group. And then defensively, look, Vogel and the Lakers staff basically said, let's see what you look like on Devin Booker, who is one of the better, I guess, one-on-one isolation type players, easily one of the best scorers in the NBA. And Kuz obviously gave up a couple buckets. You're going to when you're going up against somebody that good. But there were very few plays that Kuz was just, crossed out of the crossed off screen, right? Ushered off the stage. Exit stage left. There were very few. I can't really recall any plays like that. And for somebody about Kuz's height and length and given what he's giving up athletically to some of those players, if that's something that you can anticipate going into some of these games, you now have Wesley Matthews, who's very good with the bigger, more physical wings. You have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who is very good at staying in front of kind of smaller guards. And then if you have Kuz to bridge that gap, essentially, with his combination of size and lateral quickness, then that makes you very versatile on the perimeter. And again, I look at this team as a supremely gifted offensive group. But if they're also good defensively, then I legitimately don't know what some of these teams are going to try to do to have consistent success during the regular season, let alone when you have to win four games in seven come postseason. So it was another really fun game here. I think, Kuz deserves a ton of credit for kind of keeping his head down and focusing on the things that are going to get him paid in a more sustainable way than, really relying on this idea that, well, I'll show you and do everything in isolation. I think it's pretty admirable and really speaks to the professional and mature culture that the Lakers have been trying to implement since Anthony Davis showed up. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to have the conversation. Is this the best Lakers roster of my lifetime? Again, I was born in 86. Hang tight. We'll talk about that here in a second. All right, so let's start with what the Lakers' 10-man rotation is going to look like. Obviously, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Marc Gasol, Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Kuzma, Dennis Schroeder, Markieff Morris, who was also, he shot one of six, still has a little ways to go to get back to performing the way that he played in the bubble. But if bubble Keef is what the Lakers, if they can get anywhere close to that, then that's another really good rotation player. You also have Alex Caruso, who hasn't played as much, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. On the peripheries of that rotation, you have, obviously, Talen Horton-Tucker, who's been fantastic. And then, also Wesley Matthews was somebody who's ahead of THT in that rotation. So that's about 11 guys that we're talking about right now. So let's look at some of the guys at the end of these rotations. Now, again, or it's worth noting that, you know, do the Lakers have anybody on this roster who is as dominant as Shaq? Probably not, right? But is LeBron and AD a better combination in terms of ways that they strengthen each other's already super high games? Is that a better two-person combination than Kobe and Shaq? I think that's close enough to where the back end of this rotation starts to matter more. All right, so 1999-2000, you're looking at Kobe, Fisher, Fox, Devin George, AC Green, Ron Harper, Robert Horry, Shaq, obviously, and then you get to Glenn Rice, who was a back end of his career, Brian Shaw, Tyronn Lue, and John Sally / Travis Knight. Okay. I would contend that the guys at the back end of this roster are better than your Brian Shaws. They're better than your Tyronn Lue's. They're better than your Travis Knight's, John Sally's, right? And then, you know, now Glenn Rice was a fantastic player for that team. He was a big pickup and a big reason why they went on to win. Robert Horry was frankly way ahead of his time in terms of the notion of a stretch four. He was a stretch four before we even thought that was a valuable thing. So, you know, you're still looking at a very, very good team. I think this team in a 7-game series against that team wins in 7. You know, it, say like 55 times out of 100. It's close, but just looking at the roster makeup from top to bottom of this team, I just and you know, it's obviously a different era, so analytically speaking, this is a team that could take advantage of some of that Lakers roster's weaknesses, but still, it's close. I'd still have this team taking the advantage. Now, this next team is the team that went 15-1. I believe it was 15-1. And, you know, they did something that no other team has been able to beat, right? That postseason run that they had. So here's your rotation on that team. Again, Kobe. Again, Derek Fisher. Again, Rick Fox, Devin George, Horace Grant, Ron Harper, Robert Horry, Ty Lue, Mark Madsen, Shaq, and Brian Shaw. A little Medvedenko mixed in there as well. A little J.R. Ryder, a little Mike Penberthy. But for the most part, that was your group. And it got significantly worse as you got down to the 9 or 10 spots. And this is, again, this is one of the best postseason teams we have ever seen. I still think that this team, this current roster, again, this is all in theory. We might get to the end of the season. We might be a month from now, and I might be laughing at my own take here. But as it's currently put together, I have this team as better than even that team. And it's close. You're talking about a 7-game series either way, the way that it goes. And I don't think either team wins more than like 55 series or games out of 100. It's that close of a series. I just think, you know, given what we've been able to see from this team defensively and how good they could possibly be if they really start clicking offensively, this is an incredible, incredible roster. Last team here of that three-peat era, you have Kobe, you have Fish, you had Fox, George, Horry, Lindsey Hunter was on this team, Mark Madsen, again, Medvedenko, he plays a bigger role here, Shaq, a little Penberthy, Mitch Richmond was, you know, was not Mitch Richmond. By the time he was on there, you had Ryan Shaw and you had Samaki Walker. By the time you get to that eight spot, right, when you're talking about the Brian Shaws, the Medvedenkos, the Samaki Walkers, this team is very clearly better than that team. And then, you know, the next year the Lakers lost, right? So I would say the closest of that this matchup is going to get is that middle team. And then, you know, from there it tails off. And we could go over the back-to-back teams, but that was one of the shorter rotations. Phil got about as much as you possibly could get out of that group. Kobe was a little further in his career, and you don't have a Shaq on those teams. So I have this team being better than that squad because the AD LeBron combination is a lot better. Not a lot better. I would say, like, if AD LeBron is a 10, I'd probably have Kobe and Powell as like a 8, 8.5. And if that's at the top of your roster and you're also deeper, then I just think this is a better roster in theory right now than those teams. Again, this is the kind of thing that if I'm hilariously wrong, you guys are more than welcome to laugh at me and dunk on me and all of those things. Those teams, both the 3-peat team and the back-to-back team, accomplished incredible things. And, you know, the 3-peat team, I don't think we're ever seeing another 3-peat in the NBA, including this team, by the way, this group of players. That back-to-back team knocked off a team that's frankly ahead of its time in that Orlando Magic team with that spread pick and roll and the way that they kind of ushered in the era of basketball that we have seen follow it. They knocked off the Boston Celtics, who according to ESPN is the greatest collection of in NBA history to have ever won one championship. And then, you know, we could go into the 88 thing. I think it's just too far. The players right now are just too much better than players of that era. It's such a different game, analytically speaking, physically speaking, all of those things. It's not even worth it to really go back all the way back to when I was a year and a half old or a year old to compare this team to then. But, you know, it just goes to show how special this team could possibly be. It's a special group of players that I think I'm pretty comfortable in expecting special things from them. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete and I will be back to react a little bit more to this game and get you guys ready for Friday night's game as well. And then after that, we're going to be getting you guys ready for the regular season, which is somehow right around the corner. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow.